I'm Ewan Spence. I'm currently in America, and you're currently listening to the PlayStation Show. Yes, it's that annual trip I take to America and the South by Southwest Interactive Music and Film Conference, which means it's also the annual look at the top five things to travel with on your PlayStation Portable. Yes, still not quite there with the PS3 stuff. I've got lots of games that people have been sending me to review. Thank you very much for all of that, guys. Just need to find a PS3 to play them on. Yeah. Okay, let's bring that out there. I'm not going to do news and stuff or anything. As I said, on the road, kind of hard to get all of them together. What we are going to go for is top five traveling things. We're going to go for mini games for media and for UMD stroke full games, as it were. Let's start with the minis, even though we did do a little of them at Christmas. Five to go from. Vectra TD, let's put that one in at number five. It's a tower defense game. It doesn't keep a high score, but it's trancy. It's very, you know, gluey Tron electronic lines. And it's just, it's not, it gets into a nice zone of these games of wave and relax and wave and relax and wave and panic and relax and wave and panic and relax and wave and panic more and relax. And I like that. It's just nice and soothing. It's almost zen-like. It reminds me a little bit of Flow. From about 2 years ago, which was just a sort of zen-like move around the game. This is just there, but with guns. Like that. Number four, reviewed last week, still in the middle playing it, Aero Racer, top-down, hovercraft, futuristic racing game, no grip, lots of power slides, lots of grinding around the rails. I'm about halfway through it now in terms of the challenges and the Grand Prix. I think by the end of the trip I'll be finished it and I'll never play it again, but for right now it's in my top five, and if you're going a long trip, certainly recommended as well. Number three, there should be no surprise here. Everybody knows my love of Tetris on the PSP. It's one of the few versions of Tetris that rivals the original Game Boy's version, and it is just as good here. Even though it's 3 or 4 years old, this is definitely recommended. Shift Extend, I'll be doing a full review on this one next week. It's a platformer, it's monochrome, it allows you to flip over the play. So you play as a black character on white platforms, and you flip it over and you're a white character on black platforms, and it's like Crush, but rather than Crush 3D to 2D, it's 180 degrees rotation. It's just nice. I'll explain it more next week, but for now, have a look at it. Shift Extended. And the number one top minigame, still, I did consider putting Gravity Crash here. I did, but Gravity Crash is just a little bit too hard. Super Stardust. It's just a good old-fashioned rootin-tootin arcade shooting 'em up. Too many enemies on the screen. Fantastic numbers of bullets and powers up. It's just class. Simple as that, oozes it all the way. If you haven't got it yet, you know, don't bother with the extra extended version, which gives you the bombing run and the solitaire game. No, just go for Super Stardust on its own. It's a blast. Okay, top five media. We always forget PSP is a great media station as well. It's kind of been overtaken a little bit now by things like the iPad and the iPhone and everything. But I suspect with the NGP coming out, we'll see a lot more of this stuff coming back in. Much tighter integration into the PlayStation Network store, which will allow media to be bought. Strange ping in the background there. So, five bits of media that I'm carrying with me to get me through the transatlantic route, which is Edinburgh, London, Dallas, Austin, and to help me out when I just need some downtime over there. Number five. I should start. Number six, I always have Airplane on my device, mainly because it's fun watching Airplane on a plane. It's even more fun when the stewardesses lean over and look and see what you're watching and go, nice. Would you like another drink? Yes, please. So Airplane is number six. But we're top five here. So top five is Unstoppable. Yes, it's mentioned it in the last show as well. It's Denzel Washington trying to catch a runaway train with Captain Kirk by his side, who doesn't know how to catch a runaway train. It's just men playing with trains and being lots of testosterone and lots of fuel. And it's Tony Scott just going boom and blowing things up and doing hero shots. It's exactly the sort of cheese you need as a starter. Because number four is cheese to the max. Guys over at the Thumbcast podcast, the thumbcast.com, have a listen. It's just archaic sci-fi genre media fun from two really, really bitter Scottish hacks. Craig, Ian, it's a fantastic show. But they recommended that The Cape, which I understand is being cancelled on American television as I speak, as just fantastic. It's a cop who's framed and is then murdered, and everybody thinks he's dead, but he's not. He gets picked up by a travelling troupe of circus-performing thieves who give him a magical cape made of spider silk, which is stronger than steel, train him to be a superhero, and then set him loose to right what was once wrong, I think. Look, it's just cheesy comic book, and if this had been British, everybody would have been all over it. The Americans, I think, completely and utterly missed the irony factor, which is a shame. It's going to do 10 episodes, and they're all little tiny gems of cheese. It's fantastic. Number three. Something that the Americans did get, Walking Dead. First season has been ripped from DVD and popped onto the PSP, thanks to the likes of PSP Video 9. Haven't actually watched it in more than the first 3 minutes, enough to go, I like the look of that, even though it's the guy from This Life on the BBC. So Walking Dead, looking forward to that. You know, six episodes, we'll probably watch one every second day, make it last the entire journey. And finally, number one, it's tradition, it's Spooks and Hustle. From Kudos TV in the UK. You know, I'm still on season three of Spooks because I only watch Spooks when I'm flying. It's just this kind of thing that I have. Even though they're on season eight or nine and the stories are starting to fall apart, I've probably got another 7 years worth of Spooks because I don't do the long flights that often. So really enjoying that. Hustle, I catch occasionally on the BBC, and it's there as well. It's basically like Ocean's 11, the TV series, but with Robert Vaughn from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. instead of George Clooney. Yay. So that there, top five media. That there, wrong theme button. It's this one. There we go, all over the shop. I blame the jet lag. Finally, the one you've all been waiting for. The top five games that I am carrying with me. Okay, I think we have just two new entries into what I had last year. Two and a half, probably. Number five, Skate Park City. Still an undiscovered gem in the PlayStation collection. By Midas Interactive Entertainment, it was released at a budget price. The artwork is not fantastic on the box. You look at the back and you just go, oh, it's a skateboarding futuristic bonus extra awesome tricks multiple player mayhem game. And it just is not inspiring whatsoever. Ignore all of that. Get Skate Park City. It's like Grand Theft Auto in the fact that you have missions to do and it's an open-ended city. It's like Tony Hawk that you can go around and pull tricks. There's exploration elements in here. There's over 250 missions for you to get through, and I'm still only on about like 112 halfway through. The graphics are sumptuous. It's full 3D graphics. It's challenging. It's easy to get into. It is everything that you would expect from a mobile game on a platform that prides itself on in-depth gaming, and the fact that it is not applauded in the same sentence as our next title is a crying shame. Next title, this is one of the new entries. Lego Star Wars, the original trilogy, or Lego Star Wars 2, even though you actually start on film 4, and it's the first batch of films. I'm just trying to confuse everybody. The Lego games are just nice and cute, and they're good distractions, and I've been meaning to pick up a couple of them for a while, or at least one of many. I mean, you've got Batman, you've got Indiana Jones. Specifically, I was looking for the Harry Potter one, because my kids are desperately into Harry Potter just now, but they have Nintendo DSs. So they have that on the DS, and I had a little play around with that. You know what? Just going to go for the cliche stuff and things that I remember from my childhood, and went for Lego Star Wars, the original. So what do you hope? Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. It just looks brilliant. It plays well. You get to do your favourite scenes from Star Wars, but with Lego characters. What more could you ask for? Loving it. Number three, technically a new entry, but technically you all know that this was going to be in here anyway. It's Densha de Go, the Japanese train simulator. Finally, on number three, basically you drive a train in Japan, and you've got to stop the train at the platform within about a metre of the stopping mark and within about 5 seconds of the timetable, or you lose passengers. Lose too many passengers, you get fired. Simple as that. It's a fantastically Japanese game. If you're looking to get into it, as always, I would recommend the second title, which is Densha de Go Chuo Line. There's a wide range of graphics, you know, urban, fast, high-speed, subterranean, and suburban rail, but I'm now on the third one, finally working through. The great thing is, when I've finished all of them, I can swing back to the first one again, and I played it for about 2 years and can enjoy it there. The Where's the third one? There's the box there. Next to go, the Tokaido line, which runs from Kyoto to Kobe, with Osaka sitting there in the middle. Again, it's a bit like Vector TD. They're very zen-like. It's very precise, yet at the same time, graphically, they're very sumptuous. You see all the scenery flying past you. There is a challenge in here, but if you're not great on the challenge, you know, it just says, oh, yeah, you've lost all your passengers. You want to go again? You just want to start from where you are again? It's quite forgiving, at the same time as being incredibly precise. So you could play it to be that super precise, or you can just play it to enjoy, and I like that in the games, especially when I travel, depending on what mood I get into. Number two is the one for this great big 2 month gap between December and February, not just when I was moving the websites over from the PSP show to the PlayStation show, but also because, you know, I'd taken another look at Monster Hunter Portable, specifically Monster Hunter Freedom Unite, even though Monster Hunter 3 is out in Japan now and will probably be making its way over as one of the last games to the original PlayStation platform. You know, like, I've looked at this before. I've looked at MH2 and the other, an MH and MH2 Unite or an Express or whatever, and just saw what was going on, saw what they're trying to do, but just didn't quite click with me. And just over Christmas, Monster Hunter Freedom Unite just clicked. And I am so there. I am so going on 45-minute long quests. I'm so spending an hour taking down a Tigrex dragon with just a dagger. I am so there. So much so that I've had to print out lots of sheets and character specs and sword progressions and stuff to put on my Filofax so I can reference them on the plane without having to go back to the huge, massive FAQs. I've also bought a second spare battery because I'm going to need it. Monster Hunter Freedom there is the new entry, number two. Number one, it wasn't number one last time, but it was bouncing around in the top five. We'll have to go back and check. But it is Gran Turismo. For all the people complaining that Gran Turismo wasn't Gran Turismo when it came out, and oh, you really need the career progression there, or it's not proper. You know what? You're wrong. Simple as that. You're wrong. Gran Turismo Portable is what it was going to be. They then said, we'll just call it Gran Turismo so everyone knows it's the same. Is designed to pick up and play as a portable game. You know, you don't have career progression as your measurement. You have how many cars do you have? How much of the tracks have you got up to S level? That's your career progression. Not the we'll unlock circuits as we go along, we'll unlock cars as we go along. They actually unlock all of them for you. It's the money that you need to earn the cars. That's what you unlock. It makes it much more open. It makes it much more accessible, and it means that there's much less frustration. It means that when I picked it up, I could immediately go to the Nürburgring and give it a go. You know, I didn't have to grind out 9 months of work to be able to get a nice, good Mitsubishi car and get it around the Nürburgring. I could do it, you know, within a couple of days. But at the same time, I'm still playing it a year and a half later. Still going through, still don't have everything up to S. I mean, I'm not a hardcore gamer. If I really sat down and worked at it, I could. I kind of treasure those moments. But I still enjoy playing it. I'm still playing it. It still keeps calling me back. I'm still learning more. I'm still getting better on the tracks. And if that is not the mark of a brilliant mobile game, I do not know what is. So it wasn't exactly what you were expecting. Trust the developers. I trust them in all of these games and more. So, If you did kind of dismiss Gran Turismo beforehand, have another look at it again. I do think that it is very much worth it. And there we go. Three lists of the top five things that I was traveling. Really, of course, you wanted five top five lists, but I'm not going to go there and do that. I'm going to carry on and head into South by Southwest, my little walk from south of the river, over the bridge, past the bats, and into the Austin Convention Centre. I shall leave you with the theme music coming out at the end. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Ewan Spence. We'll have another show, as I said, probably reviewing Shift Extend next week when I get back to Blighty. But for now, thank you very much for listening to the PlayStation Show. And if you are in Austin, have breakfast at Magnolia's. Go in, ask for the breakfast taco, and just enjoy. That's all I'm saying.